Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Saturday afternoon. It is I, Robin.
And I.
With Thous over there, Cliff.
Thous over there? Never mind. It sounds like you're swearing at me or something. Anyway, it is I over here. It's me over here. I'm not that into English, but here I am.
And here I am, and we would like you to be here as well, by the way.
Ready or not.
Yes, ready or not. And you can do that by dialing 646-721-9887. You can also just listen to the program by dialing that number. And should you decide to, take the jump and talk to us, just push 1, and it'll come up on my board, and I'll say, hey, area code 123, welcome to the program. And you can tell us your thoughts and participate in the conversation or come up with a new topic. Unfortunately, the chat room is not working today. We've tried multiple computers, and it just says it can't connect to the server. It's probably on Blog Talk Radio's end. But if you're listening to us on the archives, you can still reach us, by the way, by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and we're just all over the place. We're also available on iTunes if you don't want to listen to us on Blog Talk Radio.
Well, just call us and talk to us. That's it. You don't have to listen to the chat room or anything. Just call us and talk to us. We'd like to do that. That's the whole idea of this thing, is to talk to somebody.
Yes.
Live person.
Live person. And I'll jump into the headline topic today. I'm going to start out by just saying that the federal government has figured out in so many respects is that there are still some, I want to call it real Americans, that aren't afraid to stand up because what I'm referring to is what's going on in Nevada, or depending on where you live, how you pronounce it.
It's Nevada. When I lived there, Nevadans call it Nevada.
Nevada. That's why I always called it.
Yeah, and they do too. So
I do too.
Yeah, Oregon, yes. But Nevadans is what they called it there, because I never actually lived in Nevada, but I spent a lot of time in Nevada because I lived nearby, and I lived in Needles, California, and went back and forth a lot to Nevada, going to the casinos and seeing various people up there. Anyway, so much for that.
Anyways, I'm still trying to get me and my computer don't get along too well this week. And so I'm still trying to bring up the screens as things are going dead slow. Cliff, do you have the backstory on the BLM thing, or do you need to wait?
The backstory, well, depending how far back you want to go, as far as I know, Uncle Sam, dear old Uncle Sam, and here's the ridiculous part, they let this guy go for 20 years. 20 years. It's got to be, I thought, at least some sort of a longevity thing to do with that. But for 20 years, they let the man use this property and never said it. Well, they did say something. They said something every once in a while and asked him to stop and that and this and that and the other. But he owned the property or didn't own the property. He used the property for 20 years. And then they decided they want to run him off of it, and he didn't like that and decided not to leave. And the last time, according to my update, which was at 3:53 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Saturday, April 12th, that's the last update I have. And according to mine, he's still there. He's not threatening violence, but they decided they wanted him off. And they started confiscating his cows and taking them off. And I heard a video, an audio clip, where everybody's saying, well, where are the cows? Where are the cows? Because the feds basically gave up and said, okay, you can use the land. But they had already had the cows, at least a lot of them, like 500 out of 900 of them. And 500 cows at $1,000 a cow, that's a lot of money.
Exactly. And what's interesting, the reason, one of the reasons why the feds gave up is a little bit of news that came out. Actually, multiple news articles. And one of them, not surprisingly, is, and this guy needs to go away, Senator Harry Reid, apparently his son, Rory Reid, what a name, Rory Reid. Hey, Rory! Of course, then again, my dad's name's Harry. What do you expect? Documents came out that there is a $5 billion negotiation with a Chinese solar company that's wanting to build out their land. And so the even though the Bundys have been they've been working the land for about 140 years, and it was just the last 20 years or so that they decided, well, you know, we got turtles out there, you know, the desert turtles, and they're protected, and the cows, et cetera. And so they've been kind of hounding the Bundys and start charging them grazing fees because they were only supposed to have so many cows, and they ran up to 1,000 cows. And because the Bundys have been out there for so long, they don't recognize the federal government is actually owning the land, but actually the state of Nevada owning the land. And so they said they've been dealing with the state of Nevada. And then the after two or three court battles, which the Bundys lost, just recently over 200 armed FBI and BLM agents. Who knew BLM had the SWAT team, came out in force with six helicopters and, you know, literally automatic weapons and whatever, and rained down onto the ranch. And some people got hurt. One of the Bundy's son got hurt when he was trying to take pictures and got tased by one of the officers. And so anyways, but one thing about ranchers, even though they say that Bundy is one of the last ranchers in Nevada, I don't know if that's true or not.
No, he's one of the last ranchers claiming the land because there are lots of
land. Anyways, a lot of the locals came to his rescue. In fact, when the news broke, some private militia from Utah and other states also went to Nevada and to his ranch to protest. And the other thing that was even got some of the senators upset, which, of course, I don't have their name because my computer crashed. The BLM, because of the free speech thing, you know, that Constitution thing, you know, that thing that Obama doesn't like, they actually set up a little area, a little corner called the Free Speech Zone, where you can come in, you can hold your little sign, you can chant your little chat. Well, a few officers are going, you stay behind the, you know, stay behind the ropes here, and you just behave yourselves. So,
not everybody. Well, everybody basically has so far. It's been fairly quiet. I mean, there's been a few little skirmishes, but not much. It's been fairly good.
Yeah, but one of the points is, I'm sorry to interrupt, one of the points is that, you know, because the people came out in masses, you know, if people hadn't come out and done this, I mean, they would have walked all over Bundy.
Yeah, they probably would have, except that, I don't know, I get the impression he's not one you can walk over easily.
Yeah, in fact, this just released. Nevada cattle rancher Clevin Bundy called on Clark County Sheriff Douglas Gillespie to start arresting Bureau of Land Management agents on charges of trespass and theft of his cattle against the federal government's intestifies or something.
And he called on them, but did they do anything?
Yeah.
They've been awfully quiet. He's acknowledged the fact that they're the only people he will pay any attention to, the only people he'll talk to, but they haven't been saying much back, which is kind of sad.
Well, it's interesting, too, is that nowhere, and there's a lot of articles going on, and, you know, there's still, I don't know if this will come out when the dust settles, is I have not seen any mention of a warrant. Fourth Amendment, unlawful search and seizure, I think would kind of take precedence.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
There is a court order, but, you know, again, was he presented with due process? You know, did he know up front this was going to happen? Or they just decide to, you know, I don't know.
Well, see, he's not acknowledging the fact that the federal government even has anything to do with it. He's not acknowledging the fact that the federal government owns the property or anything. He's saying Nevada owns the property. And until Nevada says something, he's not going to pay any attention to it. So we don't know what the federal government has literally done so far.
Right.
And it doesn't.
They also was, and again, I'm going by memory. I think one of the things that also kind of escalated the private militias to come out is that there were rumors of the special black ops coming out and assisting the BLM agents.
The special black ops?
Yes, and again, I'm going by memory because I can't find the screen. But anyways, the special ops. Quit shutting off. And I've been snubbed by better computers than you. Anyways. So it's interesting, especially when the fallout about all this, because it has made national news. It's actually been around the world now. Because
it's been on the news for at least a couple of weeks because I've been watching it on the news. Right. And everything I'm reading almost is from memory because I have watched it pretty closely, and it's quite interesting. There's a lot of people there. By a lot of people, I mean 20, 30, 40 people that are there protesting with the ranch owner Bundy. But I haven't seen anybody there, but I guess I still don't know where they've got, where they're keeping these cows, you know. If they've rounded up all these cows, they got 500 cows, where are they keeping them? I mean, you don't just, those guys don't just go away, and I haven't seen any trucks or anything out there carrying them away. I don't know unless the idea is that they got them in a corner and put a fence around them or something. I don't know. That's just really weird. But it's too bad that they can do that. And, I mean, I don't know, 600,000 acres to protect, that's a lot of that's what they say is protecting the desert tortoise. Well, the thing is, that desert tortoise has been there in the entire 20 years that this guy's been on this property.
Right.
And if he's still there, then he's obviously not being bothered too bad. I mean, you'd think in 20 years, if the cows were going to step on him, they would have done that by now. So, I don't know. It's just ridiculous. I can believe what you're saying, that there's, for the first time, there's somebody who wants to buy the land or who wants to rent the land. Has made an approach to the federal government, and the government decides they want to do something with it. On the same token, he's supposed to owe them, you know, he has never paid rent. He has never paid any kind of rent for the property. So he's $1 million behind in that.
Well, he's paid it to the state of Nevada. He hasn't paid it to the federal government.
I haven't even seen anywhere where he's paid it to the state.
Yeah, he's paid rent. To the state of Nevada. He's just never paid a dime to the federal government because he doesn't recognize that the federal government, BLM, which I don't know when the BLM actually came into existence, but he's claiming that he owned the property before they did. But he says that, you know, the state of Nevada owns it, and he's been paying grazing rights to them.
Well, if he's been paying grazing rights to them, they should be passing it along then.
Right.
They shouldn't just intercede and take it just on general principles because that doesn't work. So they should have passed it along to the Bureau of Land Management, and the Bureau should be happy with that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's as much as BLM wanted or not, but it's just ridiculous that the BLM can step in here and just change everything overnight. And I'm sure it's because they can do something better with the land or something more profitable to them with the land. I don't know how much they, you know, it'd be interesting to know how much he's paid over the years in grazing rights. But
even just not that. I mean, like here's a description about the armed BLM feds, backed by at least one SWAT team, threatened to shoot at Bundy supporters if they marched any closer to the line of vehicles, according to one report. It's like it's really overkill just for a bunch of land and cattle.
Whoa. That's a really loaded statement, overkill for a bunch of land and cattle. I mean, a bunch of land and cattle is worth a lot of money.
Yeah, but I mean the way the government is acting towards this. I mean, they came out here expecting literally a, you know, if you look at the size of the, the amount of people that came out and the artillery and everything, I mean, they're ready for a major war, you know, for all out armed battle. And it's interesting because, it's interesting anyways. I mean, just the size of the size and intensity of the amount of people that came out, how much it cost the government. I can imagine easily it cost more than $1 million for as much manpower as they put out there to do this.
Well, our federal government happens to be a little bit of overkill on almost everything that they do. So that doesn't surprise me a bit. I mean, for them to come out with guns blazing, that's sort of the way they do things, which is, I don't think that's quite the way. I mean, they could, of course, again, I haven't heard, had they sent him any information telling him he had to respond, and if he didn't, and of course, that's what he's saying, he doesn't do it, he doesn't respond to them. That's where I think the state of Nevada needed to step in there and explain to the federal government that at least he's been doing something, at least he's responded to them and not to the federal government. And again, so, you know, he's not ignoring what's going on, but he's just not responding to the people he doesn't believe owns the land. And I think that's acceptable. I mean, but at this particular point, they're still, I don't know if they've not ended it and they've not given up, and nobody has given up yet, as far as I know. They have his, or at least, I was going to say, it's probably most of his cattle, 600 out of 900 head, and that's a lot of money, and especially since each one of those cows is worth $1,000, approximately. So that would be scary to... he's got a good, the fact that he's been there for 20 years, that's the thing that gets to me. They've let him go for 20 years, and now they get upset about it. You can't do that. You just can't do that. That's 20 years of in any other instance, he'd own the land. So, and I know in this particular case, I guess.
No, you're right, because if he claims squatter's rights, once somebody does that, I mean, if, like, for example, in Oregon here, if you stayed at some place for 30 days, you can claim squatter's rights, and you play hell getting rid of them.
Yeah, yeah. But 20 years, they're, of course, they are playing hell getting rid of them there, too, and it's only proper as far as I'm concerned. I wouldn't mind it if they never got rid of him. I mean, he's using the property, the land, the way it's supposed to be used, and... I say the way it's supposed to be used, the way it's traditionally supposed to be used. But, I mean, how much of that land did the Chinese or whoever they were want? All of it? I mean, it's sad that the federal government has to go to such extremes every time they do something to get what they think that they can get to what they want.
Right. Well, here's what's kind of interesting as I'm looking at different headlines here. This one from the Los Angeles Times is the BLM halts seizure of Nevada ranchers' cattle, citing safety concerns for the protesters.
Well, sure, there's safety concerns, but they should have thought of that a long time ago. I mean, it's a little late now to think of it.
Right. So, I don't know. It's crazy. It's crazy making stuff, as they say. But still, what is kind of interesting is that how many people did come to the aid of Bundy, right or wrong or whatever the thing is, but it's what people used to do.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's true. We don't see much of it anymore, but it is the kind of thing that they used to do. You know, and this is out there in the middle of nowhere, where how do I want to say it? People are living like they used to.
Right.
And, I don't know. It's good that somebody's coming to his benefit, to his
well,
to his help.
I mean, again, getting back to the Constitution, it does give us the right to even abolish our government if it gets out of hand. That's one of the things that the Founding Fathers, whether they like it or not, did put in the Constitution, because they foresaw the government, you know, government power and everything. Well, actually, that's what they came from England, you know. And so that's why they written that in there.
That's right, and they didn't want the government to be able to run all over the individual, which is that was the whole idea of the United States, is to have a little bit of freedom, and at least a way to protest what's being done to them.
Exactly, and like I said, most people don't know this. It is in the Constitution that if our government gets out of hand, we do have the right to take over, take it back. And the government knows that, but they're counting on the fact that most people will not. And
well,
that there's these private armed militia that is willing to come to an aid of a fellow citizen. I mean, that to them, they should kind of, well, I know they already got plans you know, under FEMA and other things to handle an uprising from the peasants.
Unfortunately, us being the peasants. The thing is, we should have. See, that's what our federal government is relying on, is the fact that we won't gather together. We won't work together. We won't work as a group instead of just a bunch of people. And as long as we don't work as a group, they win. But what has happened here is all of a sudden we've got a group of them working together, and so we've almost got the general populace working as a group, and that's good. I think we should. I think it's good to scare the whatever out of them.
Right. Well, I mean, it's just gotten out of hand. You know, the federal government I hate to say it, and most Americans, you know, as far as what they consider important. I mean, just look at the lack of interest as far as voting goes anymore.
Yeah, really. People don't bother.
In fact, there has been talk on the radio again that Obama has been opening his mouth and saying that people have been repressed from voting because we're back to the voter ID thing again. But as some of the talk show hosts I listen to point out, if you want to go, or try going to a state liquor bar or a state liquor store and try to buy alcohol, or go anywhere, try to buy alcohol, go down to, you know, 7-Eleven, try to buy alcohol, and say, I don't need to show my ID because I feel it's racist.
Yeah.
Try going into the federal building and, you know, well, sorry, sir, but I feel it's racist for you to ask me to show you my ID.
You see, I don't see how that can be considered racist, but I do realize that, you know, almost anything you do, you need to show ID. I'm not saying that we should have a national ID card, but you need to have something. And if you don't have a driver's license, which is pretty universally your ID, and I'm interested now because I don't have one. I discovered the other day that my driver's license expired, and I don't have any ID. And they won't use an expired driver's license, although, in my opinion, it's just as good as a current one because it's still got your picture on it, and I haven't changed that much. It's got my name on it, so it's still definitely me. But the point is, I don't have a current driver's license because I don't drive at this point anymore. And so consequently, I just discovered, just realized that the other day, that I don't have any ID because without a driver's license, all I've got is a Social Security card, and they don't put pictures on those, and they're not you're not, according to the card itself, you're not allowed to use that as an ID card.
Yeah, because you expire when your driver's license expires, so you no longer exist.
Yeah, that's probably.
Geico's been saving people money.
What the hell? I hate those.
What was that?
Oh, you go to a website and audio starts up, or video starts up, and you know that's when I took a web course. That's one of the biggest no-nos that they say to do, to, as far as annoying your audience.
Yeah, really.
So what I was trying to do, there was an article about where I-15 was shut down because of the supporters coming out to the Bundy Ranch. And I was trying to go to that, but unfortunately, we had to get a barking dog Geico commercial. What's that?
Okay.
Timmy stuck in the well again? Anyway, speaking of stuck in a well and stuck in a hole, if somebody wants to express their opinion, how would they do that?
They could give us a call. It's real easy. It's 646. Just write this down, 646-721-9887. Now, big, bold, black pen, 646-721-9887. If you really want to remember what the number at any given time, write it on the refrigerator. How can you? 646-721-9887. And the refrigerator is usually big enough that you could write it on there and see it from anywhere in the room. So I could even see it from my refrigerator. Of course, my refrigerator's got other stuff on it.
Yeah, just be sure it's your refrigerator before you do that.
Well, interestingly enough, I have a couple of signs that were mine from way back when I was in radio, and our terrestrial radio, shall we put it that way, that say Cliff Wilson Morning Man all over the front of my refrigerator. So
yes.
That's...
being a seasoned radio personality. Google it, folks.
Those signs have been there forever, and I haven't used them as anything.
Yeah. Well, one thing, as I'm perusing the headlines here, just for any more updates without the Geico commercial, some of the headlines, and I've seen this on Facebook quite a bit, these comments, is that they're referring to Bundy's illegal cattle and how the federal government reacted, you know, in force to take care of the illegal cattle, especially over the desert turtle, which is, in coexistence with the cattle for a long time and is overpopulated right now, from what I understand. But a lot of the comments on Facebook regarding this is that if the government can go in such force over illegal cattle, why can't they do the same over our southern border?
I'm confused.
In other words, they're more concerned about illegal cattle than they are illegal aliens coming across the border. And that's been some of the big hype about, we're ignoring that and not enforcing the borders, but yet we come out literally with militia, or not militia, but, an army to go and round up, 1,000 cattle. 1,000 head of cattle.
I think that's possibly because the border is thousands of miles long, and his property is only a few miles long.
Right.
It's a little easier to do. But this border thing.
I know how they can fix that.
Oh.
Let's take the spotted owl from Oregon, and or some other quote unquote endangered species, and let's say that these people coming across the border are interfering with these species, and so we'll call it a protected area.
We couldn't protect it anyway. I mean, we can't even protect it. We just, I don't know. Why should we bother? We should just let them come. The thing is, it's our fault that they're coming here.
Right.
I mean, we need to do a little adjusting. See, if the people didn't make that much more money here, and then we've got to either change how much money they make here or make how much money they make in Mexico be equal to that. I mean, unless you can equalize the two systems, it's never going to go away. In Canada, they make almost the same as we do here, and depending on when it is, So when I first remembered as a younger person, our dollar was worth more than theirs. Now their dollar is worth more than ours. So it goes back and forth, and it's very close. But in Mexico, their dollar is worth nowhere close to what ours is. So we've got to do something to change that and equalize the thing. That will equalize the whole thing. People won't be coming here then.
Okay, but speaking of, sorry to interrupt. BLM says Bundy's 400 cattle free. This came out of the Las Vegas Sun about 1 hour ago.
Oh.
Yeah. The other thing that's kind of interesting, too, that I've never heard of this, is the FAA, by the way, set a 3-mile nautical radius, no-fly zone over that area.
Oh, yeah, that's something that you can do all the time. Yeah, that's it. Again, I think that's only to keep people, the press, from getting decent pictures.
Yeah.
So that's not hard to do. I don't know that that's... See, all of these people, we're just making a big thing out of this. And it's also, I really honestly think that a lot of this is being done to give people a job. I mean, BLM people and FAA people, and it's a way to make them, to make some work for somebody that didn't have it a few days ago. And it's just ridiculous because it isn't necessary. We don't need to react this amazingly, because it's not that big a thing. It's just not that big a thing. Right. And anything that's going on down there. In fact, if it weren't for, why are they doing this all of a sudden now? It must be because somebody else has got some.
Well, the reason why they're doing it now is because of the $5 billion deal.
Excuse me. Yeah.
I got a nifty computer. Don't do that.
Hello?
I'm still here. As Cliff is playing around with plugs and other fun stuff. And anyway, so to kind of make to answer Cliff's question, why are they doing it now? Well, again, it gets back to money. It gets back to... especially like Harry Reid and his son Rory doing that $5 billion land grab. I mean, it's kind of interesting when you like to say, follow the money. And it answers the question, why now? Why is it so important? Why are they doing it in such force?
I still think the time limit should be setting in there because they just can't come in at any time they want to and just take over. I mean, the man has been there for 20 years. And 20 years has to do something with it. It has to have something to do with it. I mean, even just homesteading. I mean, you go and live on the land for 20 years and it's yours. If nobody during that time has said that it's not, and I thought it was like 7 years that they have to respond to that, not 20. So their time has long since gone. But then, of course, we don't know what the federal government has done to try to get that land back over the years. You know, they know good and well there's this 7-year limit, so maybe they over the years have sent letters and demands and such all this time every 4 or 5 years just to make sure they're covered.
Well, like I said, he's been in court at least 3 times over this, and each time the courts have ruled that not in his favor.
Not in his favor.
Correct.
And he still goes out and keeps doing it.
Right.
Oh. See, that makes a little bit different story than he doesn't have a leg to stand on. And however, that's where I think at this point, if that's the case, the federal government doesn't dare give him the land. Because if they do that, then everybody and their brother says, okay, I've been here for 10 years, it's mine. And you can't let that go on everywhere. That's scary.
Right.
I don't know. It's pretty important to remember that when you're dealing with this, and this is all of a sudden, it's always been a federal deal, but it's a federal deal now because it's been on television and they've made a big thing about it. I mean, if they could have kept it in quiet and nonchalantly done the taking care of it without people noticing, that's one thing. But the guy has done his point. His Bundy has made it impossible for them to ignore him, and so consequently, they've got to do something. Yes. How old is this guy, Bundy? I mean,
I believe he's like 67, I think.
Does he have kids that are taking over or anything? Or
yeah. Well, in fact, his son got tased so much that it caused bleeding.
Ah. So his son does, as long as, well, since his son is on his side, then the property obviously would be passed down to him, and consequently, it's going to be, it would be interesting to see if he's interested in keeping up the fight, as the case may be, or would his son, you know, of course he's only 67 years old. That's not that old yet.
No,
really. So he's got a long time to go before he has to worry about passing it along.
It'd be interesting how this plays out in the end and what actually happens.
Yeah.
I believe especially with $5 billion at stake, I do not believe that the federal government is just going to back down and go away.
No, not with that kind of money involved. And depending on, of course, I don't know, how long are these people going to keep that $5 billion alive? I mean, how long are they going to make sure they're going to want to buy something else soon, you know, and give it up? And so how long are they going to have that $5 million?
Well, what I want to know is how long are Nevadans going to keep putting up with Harry Reid and his likes? I mean, they put him back in office again. You know, that guy needs to retire and needs to go, you know, like I say, he just needs to retire and go play in a pool somewhere.
Why are you so unhappy with Harry Reid?
If you have been following what he's been doing, you would understand.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not going to go through the whole list, but, you know, look it up.
Well, I've been watching on television. Now, I haven't seen that much, but I have seen him up there talking, and I haven't noticed a big thing.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Same thing like Nancy Pelosi and some of the others. They just need to retire. They've been in there too long, and
Well, again, Harry Reid, every 4 years, somebody puts him back there.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So somebody must believe in what he's doing or believe that what he's doing is right. Then maybe this will be the time, this will be the case where he'll overstep his bounds and he won't go back again. You never know.
You never know. I mean, it's just like, throwing Obama into this. I very seldom find anybody that supports him anymore, but yet they try to emphasize the fact that he's great. And...
Yeah, I know. There's everybody has an opinion about Obama, and the reason everybody's given up on that because he can no longer be reelected, and so consequently, but see, Harry Reid can go back there as many times as they want to, and that's why we need to do something about it. I mean, the people who, I was going to say the people who care or the people who are involved in this situation, but maybe they are doing something about it. Maybe they're putting it back. So, you know, maybe we're on the wrong side.
I don't know.
Obviously, not too much. Too many people are unhappy with him because if they were, they could have gotten rid of him long ago.
I don't know what power they have or he has over them, but you know, they talk about impeachment a lot, but nobody's filed. That I'm aware of, nobody's actually filed articles of impeachment.
Well, they're talking about impeachment for the president, too, now, so that doesn't make any big thing. You can threaten all kinds of things, but until you actually do something about it, you've not really done anything. I mean, threatening young people with something just doesn't accomplish anything. I know we've got two or three And I'm not sure but what they've even been filed. But they've got to be followed up, too. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Nobody's accomplished anything against. And, of course, like I was starting to say, one of the reasons people have stopped and just forgot about Obama is because he can no longer be elected. He's out of the picture, basically. And
I think what it is that it's not so much he's out of the picture, is that people get tired of hearing his lip slap. I mean, just like the anniversary of Obamacare when he wanted to come out on the major networks and, you know, praise the accomplishments, and the major networks wouldn't give him any airtime.
Well, he's been given enough airtime. I mean, he's made it. And, there, yeah, you're right. There's some people that didn't at one time. That was when he decided to go on all of the little local shows. I don't want to say local shows, but go on Ellen and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And anything to get his picture is out there and his voice to be heard. And, he, you know, when you are the president, it's amazing what you can accomplish. Good, bad, or indifferent, you can accomplish it. The thing is, if you accomplish it and enough people are against you, sooner or later he'll stop because they'll put him out. And as I say, I think there has already been impeachment processing has started on him, but I don't know how.
Well, I'm just hoping that people realize that, you know, the Obamacare, with what recently happened in Nevada, that and even on the government shutdown where they actually went and closed down some of the parks and whatever to personally or to effectively hurt people, you know, because it's the...
This is the second time that they've done that. And it didn't accomplish anything in your time. So it doesn't... Because shutting down the parks and things, everybody knows those are not going to stay that way. It's not going to stay that way. It's going to be opened back up again, because if it does stay that way, people will get mad. And when people get mad, you're in trouble. So you have to pretty well decide how long you're going to play the game and then jump out of the game in that process, because it can only go on so long. And the American public will only put up with so much, and then they do something about it.
Yeah,
now,
that's the point, is how much does it take? I mean, we're seeing the feds flex their muscles a lot,
mm-hmm.
and we're a lot of us are just laying down and finding excuses to go along with it. You know, Obamacare is a perfect example of how it's starting to affect every individual, although it hasn't done it significantly enough yet to really hurt, so to speak, but that's coming in a couple of years.
What did I hear? Something like 33 times already that Obamacare has been changed?
Yeah.
And still not right?
No.
I don't think anybody believes it's real. I mean, everybody just, it's a big joke.
Well, and that's the point. It's a law, like it or not, it's the law of the land, to quote the president, and they're already tweaking it. In fact, they're tweaking it. The president does not have the constitutional right to tweak a law. It has to go through Congress and that realm. It has to go through due process. And so that brings up two questions. One, the fact that he's doing it, and two, how is he able to do it? Well, then you got the attorney general who came out the other day whining, and I emphasize the point, whining, well, no other attorney general would ever be treated like this. You guys must be racist.
We got to get rid of this racist crap. I mean, not everything that's done is racist. I mean, it can be bad in other ways other than racist. My God, and for that matter, all these people are not all black.
Well, of course, if you notice that the majority of the people that Obama has appointed have been of color.
Well, they are, because he is.
Exactly. Now, isn't that being racist?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, if you come right down to it. But, you know, and one of the things that, according to, I'm trying to find the article now, is that Eric Holder, the attorney general, was complaining about is that during, well, the Fast and Furious thing still haven't got answer. You know, the gun running to Mexico, where one of our agents died, and who knows how many Mexicans were killed over our guns. And there was an investigation, and the AG office refused to turn over documents requested by the investigators and still hasn't turned it over. And that's when Holder is starting to say that no other attorney general would be treated like this. You guys must be racist. I'm trying to find the exact quote.
Okay. I think we're just using the word racist just to upset people. That's what it sounds to me like. I mean, we're not believing any of that crap that's coming up. It's something to say. It's been for so long, being racist really meant something. Now I don't believe it means near as much. They're using it for anything. I mean, you can be of Mexican descent and call white people racist. And as far as I'm concerned, if they're white, they're white. You know, they can be Mexican or they can be Irish, and they're all the same. But that's not true. Every one of them can be called, or can call the other one racist, and get away with it.
Right. No, like I say, I thought we got over that, which is one of the reasons why the people elected a black president. And ever since that election, you know, we've had racism slapped in our face ever since.
Well, I think personally that Americans are realizing this was a big mistake, and all Americans are realizing that, not just the black Americans or the white Americans. They're all realizing that this was a big mistake, and I think it's going to be a long time before we elect a black president again, and that's really too bad because it's basically Obama that screwed everything up for everybody else.
Exactly. Well, he said right in the beginning, and even during the 2000 debates, that he has not so much one world government, but he wants a single payer healthcare system. He fundamentally wants to change America. And we always, you know, when you think somebody's running for office, you think that they're doing it for the right reasons. But like you said, what's unfortunate is that he has, in my opinion, and you can't blame people for thinking about this, they're going to be very hesitant about, you know, electing another person that is not from the old school, so to speak.
It'd be interesting to see if they would go for a woman.
Well, they're really pushing Hillary, and it's already been stated that one of the reasons why they want Hillary is because then if you disagree with her, you are now sexist. Don't disagree with any of the policies, because if you do, you're sexist or you're racist or you're something, no matter how bad they are, you know. I mean,
yeah.
At least when Bush and Clinton did this, you know, we called him an asshole.
Yeah, really.
Which is offensive to other assholes. But anyways.
And I see what they're saying, and of course, she hasn't been saying she's going to run yet. She said several times she wasn't going to run. However, her adamancy against running is backing down a little. She's not quite as adamant as she was before.
I can't wait to get back in the office.
I can. Anyway.
Yes.
But
because you'd be the first husband.
Really? Well, you know, that's it's interesting to see trying to build up another what do you want to call it, of one family having being in office at the top office all the time.
How about Jeb Bush? I mean, they're talking about getting him in there, and his thing, which is just, I'm going to see if I can find the comment, because it's just, I do not want to go by memory on this one, because.
Well, I've been watching a little bit, and I haven't seen that much about Jeb Bush. I know he's talked about it, and he's mentioned it and such things, and I've seen him. To be honest with you, I simply haven't paid any attention to what he has to say.
Right. Well, neither has a lot of other people, except for the fact that he makes the Bushes look bad. where he's, especially like his comments recently, where he's talking about illegal aliens, that they come here because it's simply out of an act of love.
Yeah. Well, you know, his solution to the illegal alien problem, the immigration problem, is as good as anybody else's at this point, as far as I'm concerned. Nobody's got it right. And what are we going to do? You see, it's not, we're going at it from the wrong direction. We're going at it by saying that they're doing something, the people that are immigrating here are doing something wrong. We're doing something wrong by allowing it to happen.
Right.
When somebody comes here, we have thousands of people who are putting them to work and giving them jobs. Those are the people we should be going after, not the people that are taking the jobs. We should be going after the people who are giving them the jobs and putting them out of business or something. But we're not doing that. And so consequently, this is our fault. This is not the people who are coming across the border. They're coming across the border because it's lucrative to do so. And we, goodness, and we should change that. Weird. Cell phones.
Yes.
but that's the thing that we need to do, is change our immigration policy, to change our not change our immigration policy, but change our employment policy, I guess would be the word, because we're putting them to work. We're making it.
Right. We're creating, like you said, we're creating the problem, which is why that we have to have things like the Dream Act, because they are the victims of our lack of enforcement, and it's only going to get worse is the thing. And
that's because we're enforcing the wrong things.
Yeah, we're going after illegal cattle.
Yeah.
And how do we know that those cattle are not citizens?
Well, they are. They're born in the United States.
That's
so
true.
Every one of them is a citizen. So we're rounding up and putting citizens in jail.
But do they have any ID?
Well, no, probably not.
Yeah, or they have a tag on their ear or something like that.
That's more ID than I got. So thank God.
646-721-9887 if you'd like to comment on this or anything else. And especially if you're listening to us from the archives, again, how do you feel about what's happened in Nevada? Do you feel that Bundy was right in not paying the fees? Do you feel the federal government was right in the way they handled it? Or do you disagree? It'd be interesting to find out what you think. Again, send us an email, talk@carabianradio.com, or visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/carabianradio. And it, again, it'd be very interesting to see you know, how you guys feel about it as well.
Really? Did you see the thing with the Hillary Clinton having a shoe thrown at her?
No.
She was doing a speech, and she was doing it in Phoenix, I guess. And a Phoenix woman accused her, the Phoenix woman was the one who threw the shoe. She was about 50 feet away, and she was quite obese. And she had a really good aim, to be honest with you, because it got there from 50 feet away. But she threw a shoe at Hillary Clinton, who was doing a speech, and Secret Service, of course, got a hold of her and took her away, and so on and so forth. But her name was Allison Mitchell Ernst. She wasn't 36 years old.
Yeah,
I can't see.
She was easy to spot because she was the only one limping with one shoe.
With one shoe. Actually, she turned tail and ran, and she must have had another shoe off because she didn't limp when she was running.
Oh.
So she must have taken both shoes off.
Maybe she went. I know what it was. Maybe she wanted to see if Hillary had the same reflexes as Bush did when he got a shoe thrown at him.
Well, actually, Hillary didn't know what it was that was thrown. It didn't hit her or anything, so it just went right past her. And her first report was that a bat? Did a bat come by here? And then she got the idea that it wasn't a bat, and perhaps that something was thrown at her, but. She spent quite a while wondering what had happened, period. And then she just went on and continued on talking and let it go. But it was kind of interesting. This lady was about six rows in front of her, or six rows back anyway, and she threw the shoe, and it didn't hit Hillary. She ducked, and it wasn't struck, but she did appear very quickly to be straightened. She took it in stride. and she cracked a couple of jokes almost immediately, and she recovered very nicely. I don't have any problems with Hillary. She could possibly be a better president than either one of them.
Well, like she claims that she had answered the phone at 2 a.m. where our sitting president, when we had things going on overseas, wouldn't do that.
That's true.
Yes.
I doubt for
to see the new, next time we have an important speaker, you guys must all come barefoot.
Really, really.
Fortunately, when you have a stadium full of thousands of people not wearing shoes,
Okay. That's a different way of looking at it, but that's all right, I suppose. I don't know. I don't think that's a problem. It's just that if they were in the room together, if they were out in a stadium, that would be one thing. But if they were all together in a room of 1,000 people without shoes on, that, you're right, could be real, real dicey, to be free.
Yes.
Whatever. But anyway, it's interesting that she did recover so quickly, though. This thing happened to her, and within a matter of seconds, she was just making jokes about it and wasn't sure what happened and just continued going on. So she recovers quickly, and I think that's good to have in a president, because we have a president that I think holds grudges, and I think that's not a good thing.
I'm totally shocked.
At what?
That we have a president that holds grudges.
Oh, well. You're shocked at him or shocked that I would say it?
I'm totally shocked to hear that.
Oh, okay. I think he does. And I'm not going to stop thinking that for quite a while. So, anyway, again, the thing is, I guess I don't know enough or remember enough about Bill Clinton to remember what he did and while he was in office. So, I don't think for a minute that Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton would be anything alike. I think Hillary Clinton did not agree with the way Bill Clinton did things and consequently would do them diametrically opposed to his way of thought. So, it's hard to say. But it'll be interesting. I was going to say it'll be interesting to see her in office. I don't know if it will or not. So I don't know people don't have fun.
Here's how stupid it is and how stupid we are. And they'll probably call this sexist, because in a sense it is. It's whenever, headline news, Hillary shows up without her contacts and makeup. This actually happened. She went out and attended a meeting without her, contacts and without wearing makeup and headlines, And if she ever wore anything besides a pantsuit, that would make headlines. Where, if it's a guy, nobody cares.
Well, I think it's about time that we allow women to go places without makeup and all that stuff.
Yeah, I agree. But the point is that, why is that headline news that Hillary showed up at a meeting, wearing her glasses instead of her contacts?
That's fine. I mean, she has to see.
Well, I know she has to see, but why is that headline news?
I don't think it is. Who was it that made it a headline?
It was. It actually made headlines that Hillary showed up for a meeting without her contacts.
Well, that must have been a day that we had nothing else to talk about. And of course, there's been a lot of those days lately. So, that's ridiculous to even report on that, the fact that she was without. That's crazy. I don't think that's a news reporter.
Well, that's where our news has gone nowadays, is that, instead of in-depth reporting, per se, we don't do in-depth reporting anymore when you get right down to it.
Yeah, that's true. We really don't. And that's, we don't, well, that's our fault, because Nobody, the American public, our attention span is like 7 minutes maximum, and you've got to cover two or three stories in 7 minutes. That's the way it works, and it just really, you don't. I was in the radio business for quite a while, and even in the news, the people who send the news, Associated Press, United Press International, so on and so forth, they don't send the elongated stories. They don't send anything more than a couple, 3 minutes.
Right.
And you don't have anything else to say. So in order to do that, you'd have to go somewhere else to find your news, and where else is there? Our news and media just doesn't do that because they have decided, now I'm not sure if they're correct in their decision, but they have decided that the American people are not interested in anything longer than a couple minutes. And after that, you've heard it all. And in reality, I don't know if there is anything longer than 3 or 4 minutes that I would be interested in listening to. There, you start ending up talking about running around in like a head with your chicken cut off.
Right.
I don't know. I can't think of any story that would be necessary to talk longer than 3 or 4 minutes about. I think everything could be said by then that needs to be said.
Well, I hear some headlines, too. Speaking of, Florida closer to waiving gun laws during riots and other emergencies. Hurricanes, toxic events, riots, and other emergencies in Florida could soon be enough to allow residents to circumvent the state's gun laws and carry weapons without a permit if the bill passed on Friday is signed into law.
I haven't heard about that. It's an interesting thought. You know, people are going to carry a weapon whether we like it or not, whether the authorities like it or not, because they carry it concealed, and nobody knows it until somebody gets shot. So what's going to stop them from carrying the weapon? Who says they're not carrying it now? And I don't see what this is going to change, other than the fact that you can do it at least in sight, supposedly. And I don't think it makes any difference in sight or not. I keep going back to when I was in California and I did some reporting. I went to school, did ball games in Nevada and in Arizona. And in Arizona especially, they could carry a weapon. There was no problem with that. And it really bothered me that we walked into the high school and here's all these people carrying six guns. And it was unique, to say the least. I mean, it was like the old West or something.
Right.
And people never thought too much about it, but they just carried their weapons. But I could see where that could get out of hand if somebody got mad. But again, we don't know how many people carry a weapon in their car or on their person or wherever, so that if they got mad, it could be just as easy to grab that weapon and do something with it. So, you know, the idea is we've got to learn how to control our madness, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's got to learn how to control ourselves, not our weapons.
Speaking of madness, as I'm again perusing the headlines, with 30 minutes remaining, actually 25 minutes remaining of the program, 646-721-9887, Michelle Obama. Okay, does Michelle Obama have any education and training in nutrition?
Well, I don't know if she does. I don't know if she has any training. She must have training in something, but she did go to college. But I don't know what, and I don't know that it's ever, I've never seen it in print.
Well, here's the headline, is that students around the U.S. can blame First Lady Michelle Obama and the U.S. Department of Agriculture when they can't get their junk food fix or have to rely on fruit juice to satisfy their sweet tooth next school year. Starting July 1st, schools will no longer be able to sell unhealthy junk food in cafeterias, vending machines, or at bake sale fundraisers that occur during school hours. According to a new mandate from the USDA, schools will have to replace junk food with nutritious items.
And that was all Mrs. Obama's fault?
Yeah.
Oh. Well,
that's just like that one school that we did a story on, that the child brought a sack lunch that her mother put together, and the teacher confiscated that and decided that it was nutritious enough and gave her chicken nuggets instead.
Yeah. I believe we're all about fed up with this whole bit with the schools, you know, and we're going to start seeing people get upset about that. And when they do, it's going to be the whole thing is going to tumble down on the lawmakers, shall we say, that are coming up with these stupid laws that don't benefit anybody. I mean, you know, it didn't kill any of our students in the past to eat junk food, which is basically what the schools have sold and given to the kids for lunch for years, was junk food. Well, I remember when I went to school, I got junk food. I mean, I got some good food, too, but I didn't have to eat it. I could throw it away and just eat the junk food, and that was fine. But actually, I always, interestingly enough, for some reason or other, lived near the school and consequently went home to eat.
Yeah.
And got absolute junk food. I mean, just something, nothing more than that. I mean, I'd go home and have a sandwich, and if a peanut butter jelly sandwich isn't junk food, I mean, there's no such thing as junk food. So sometimes I'd have a bologna sandwich or something like that, which I suppose could be good for you. I don't know, but we just didn't bother with it, whether it was or wasn't, for that matter. An awful lot of times, when you're poor, you eat macaroni and cheese type combinations, some sort of combination of macaroni and cheese, and that's pretty not good for you too. I mean.
Here's another one to get your comments on, since we're kind of just doing headlines here. If God came down right now, or what God is, you know, you would think that things would be, he wouldn't have much trouble, but this is, whose headline is this? Anyways, I don't see the name of the thing. It's from RT.com. It turns out that sometimes even God can't get a break. A New York man is suing a credit reporting agency for falsely reporting that he has no financial history, all because of his name. According to the New York Post, 26-year-old God Gazavas of Brooklyn claims the problem is due to Equifax company system, which does not recognize God as a legitimate name. Uh-huh. Is a native of Russia who went to school in the U.S. and now owns a Brighton Beach jewelry store, reportedly has credit scores higher than 720 with two other reporting agencies. His inability to receive one from Equifax has intangible effects on his life. In 2013, it kept him from being able to purchase a car. He says it's extremely frustrating. I worked hard to get good credit and to look good to lenders, and this happens. And speaking, he says, it's on my passports, on my birth certificates. There's no need for me to change it. I never had a problem with it anywhere else. I'm a citizen here. I went to school here, and I'm established my credit, and I'm paying my bills on time. And he said even one agency suggested that he change his name in order to move forward.
That's probably what I would suggest. But I can understand why you wouldn't want to.
Yes.
I mean, you've got a name. It's just, of course, I would have changed my name long ago if that was my name. But, I mean, that has ramifications in all kinds of directions. I mean, I wouldn't want to have that name. I would change it immediately.
Well, it doesn't say whether he was given that at birth. It just says on his birth certificate. But just like it's not uncommon for Hispanics to be named Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's It's the word uncommon is what you use there.
Right.
It's not uncommon, but to be named God is uncommon. And in fact, this is the first time I've ever heard of anybody being named God. So I wouldn't put up with it myself. I wouldn't live with it. It's just not necessary. It could be so much trouble. And of course, like he says, maybe it hasn't been most of his life, but how old is he?
Let's see, I have to go back. I think it said 26.
Yeah, see, he's starting out fairly early to have a problem with the name, and I'd change it fairly quickly in order to get rid of it, because it's just going to be more and more of a problem as he gets older.
No, I agree. I mean, if you're really egotistical, you go to a church and go, yeah, they're praising me.
Yeah, really. And it's just not logical. I don't know why it's okay for Jesus to be a name in one language, but God cannot be a name in another language. And
right.
I don't know.
Maybe he should put one of those little funny squiggly things above between the O and the D, and you know, like Jose and Josie. You know, it's the same letters, but because of that little squiggly thing, that it changes them.
I
don't know what it would be. Like,
it's just much easier just to change the name over with.
Right.
I mean, because, well, I can't possibly. Well, I could see him being attached to that name and not wanting to get rid of it, I guess. But I don't know. It's just too much trouble to go through life with that, in my opinion. I mean, I even thought about changing my name once from Clifton, because Clifton was unusual, after reading and after getting around and reading books and reading magazines and things like that, it's not unusual. Clifton, New Jersey, there's lots of Cliftons, so it didn't bother me anymore.
And speaking of bother, 646-721-9887. The chat room is not working. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio. But you can still give us a call right now. We got 17 minutes remaining in the program.
You know, we haven't mentioned this flight, this jet that fell into the. I don't know if I want to say into the ocean, but I'm not positive it had. It did, but that's what they're assuming so far. And it's been going on. The story's been going on for weeks, and we haven't mentioned it at all. But at this point, they are just about to wrap it up, because. It's been 37 days, I think it has been, that they've been following this thing, and they've been listening for the pings of this little black box thing that's down there, and trying to find it with that. And the black box is only supposed to work for 30 days, and so we're 7 days over long, and it stopped making any noise. But basically, as far as they can see now, they think it's fallen into the ocean, and they, you know, I don't think it did myself. I believe that it's somewhere, because I think it's been stolen myself. Somebody walked off with it as somebody, what government, the Malaysians have made a statement that they've ruled out anybody in the actual passenger side, the back of the jet, 230 some odd people that they basically ruled out. And I don't think they should have, because I do believe that it probably was somebody who came up from the back and took over the cockpit and took over flying the jet. Now, maybe they didn't know how, and maybe that's why it fell into the ocean. If it did. And I don't necessarily believe that it did. I've been following this all along, and there's been no actual, other than the fact that everybody's looking for it in the ocean, and they seem to think it's in the ocean. But I'm not too sure that it did. It went way, way, way out of its way. I mean, it went thousands of miles out of its way to get there, and went the long way around. So why would it do that? I mean, there's just too many things that are wrong with this. And I'm just really interested in finding out. I can't hardly wait till we get to the end of the story and find out what was the deal as to why it went where it went and if it went where it went at all. You sort of see?
I'm going to blame it on aliens.
You know, it's not that impossible. It's not that far off to blame it on aliens because can you imagine a jet airplane? This is a jumbo jet. This is not just a jet. This is a 777. And for it to just disappear, it's just kind of interesting. I'm not sure. The only thing I can think of is if it did go down in the ocean, that's the only way it could disappear. But it went over a lot of land before supposedly it went down. And no matter how they look at it, every time they show it, the direction on the television screen, it goes up and over up north and then down and over a lot of land before it gets out of the ocean, which is down by Australia. Why didn't this go straight down? I don't see anything that they're putting forth in what they're saying that makes any sense myself. So it just, I don't know. I think we're going to find it somewhere, hidden somewhere. It could be in any country that it could be just stuck someplace and it would have been landed and we just didn't know anything about it. It's just, it's so absurd as to how it went away. Just insane. I don't know.
Well, it's probably one of those things that, you know, they went to Alpha Centauri and turned left. Got lost.
Yeah, something like that. Well, see, the thing is, there is no debris. Absolutely no debris. I mean, have you ever heard of an airplane crashing even into the ocean and with no debris? I can't possibly conceive of that. I mean, the ocean, when you crash down into it, it's quite hard, and it smashes things up and breaks things up, and it would leave debris somewhere. But somehow or another, this airplane was flown down into the ocean, supposedly, and it left no debris at all. And
well, to add to that, there was two people on board with stolen passports. One,
that's true.
How did they know that those passports were stolen? And two, how did they, with all of our security and everything, how did they get on with stolen passports?
Well, okay, forget the security because this is not an American flight.
Okay.
This is a Malaysian flight. This is not an American flight. So the security, we don't know exactly how good it is. In fact, I get the impression that it wasn't that great at all. But the point is, at this one time, they've sort of forgiven anybody that was in the passenger side of the airplane. And like you just very quickly pointed out, you can't do that. You can't. There's something going on there. You know, if there was two stolen passports that were on the airplane, why would anybody bother to steal it? Well, there's lots of reasons why they'd steal a passport, but none of them were good as far as I'm concerned. So there could be a lot of things going on in the passenger section of the plane that where they could have taken over the cabin and decided to run this thing. And if they had enough wherewithal to think about stealing a passport ahead of the game, I would assume that one of them would be able to fly the plane. And if not, they're kind of stupid to figure on taking over an airplane and not know how to fly it. I mean, you don't take over an airplane and that's, you know, 40,000 feet in the air and say, oh, now what do I do? You just don't do that. And, of course, you see, this goes back to the business. We have so many people who shoot people nowadays and then shoot themselves. This doesn't make any sense to me either. There's, you know, why would you want to shoot yourself? Why, if you're going to shoot other people, fine, but you don't benefit from it if you just shoot yourself. And so I just, something's going on in this world and this that's weird. And I'm just flumbustered or whatever to figure out what.
Well, speaking of weird, I'm going to get back to what our original story was about here because as I'm looking at more information, there were several documents that were posted on the BLM website that were removed And the thing about the internet, you know, once on the internet, it always stays on the internet.
Yeah, no.
And so there's a couple of screenshots on here about some of those documents that were removed. And one of them was the cattle trespass impacts. It says Cliven Bundy has no legal authority to graze on federal lands in the Gold Butte area, including Lake Mead National Recreational Area. The U.S. District of Nevada has permanently enjoyed Cliven Bundy's trespass grazing, ordered him to remove his trespass cattle from public lands inside and outside of the former Bunkerville allotment, including from the Lake Mead NRA before December 2013, and stated the U.S. is entitled to seize and impound any cattle that have not been removed by the judiciary imposed off date that remained in the trespass. A large number of the trespass cattle on federal lands are feral cattle that can pose a threat to members of the public recreating or traveling over the federal lands. The trespass cattle has also caused damage to private property as well as to federal lands and natural resources. Bundy's trespass cattle, this is their claims it made, one feral calf was hit by an automobile within the Lake Mead National Recreation Area. Cattle are frequently seen on public roads, including State Route 170, and pose a danger to vehicles and members of the public traveling on public roads. Overton Wildlife Refugees, State of Nevada employee attacked by a Bundy bull. Bundy bulls.
Sound now, like, how do we know these are all Bundy? Because there are other people are running cattle on that property as well.
Most cattle have, like I say, have the tags on the ears.
Oh, yeah.
Crop destroyed by Bundy cattle on private land. Mystique Heritage Community garden damaged by trespass cattle. Mystique golf course damaged by trespass cattle. Restoration and funding and viability impacted. A $400,000 matching grant to restore the Southwest Willow Flycatcher habitat, along with Virgin River and the Walton Family Foundation, was withdrawn until the trespass cattle had been removed. The $160,000 Southern Nevada Public Land Management Act to restore the Southwestern Valley Willow Flycatcher has been delayed until the trespass cattle are removed. Non-governmental operations have expressed concern that the regional migration strategy for the Dry Lake Solar Energy Zone utilizes Gold Butte as a location for offset migration for impacts from solar development, and that those restoration activities have not been doable with the presence of trespass cattle. So right there, it kind of backs up the claim about the solar facility. But then when you talk about the impact on the land and everything, well, you know, building a huge solar array will also do that as well. You know, just the construction of it alone, you know, they worry about turtles. Well, they're going to go out and round them all up every 5 minutes. They're going to scrunch them with heavy equipment.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah,
that's only going to be a short time that they're going to be building it. It'll be a long time that it's there, but it doesn't impact nearly as much just being there, the building it, when they're building it will. But.
Right, within the operations and everything. Because it says here that Reed and his oldest son, Roy, are both involved in an effort by a Chinese energy giant, ENN Energy Group, to build a $5 billion solar farm and panel manufacturing plant in the southern Nevada desert. Reed has been one of the project's most prominent advocates, helping recruit the company during a 2011 trip to China and applying his political muscle on behalf of the project in Nevada.
Oh. So it gets deeper and deeper and deeper as we get along. So.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so that right there, and this is stuff that's been removed from the BLM website, by the way. And so that right there kind of backs up a little bit, you know, to ask the question, why now and why with such force? Well, big money.
Yeah, that is big money. There's no doubt about that. And you know, it says here that he actually is behind $1 million in unpaid grazing fees. Now, that doesn't say it's to the U.S. Bureau. He may have paid fees to the state, but he's still behind by $1 million in unpaid grazing fees to U.S. fees to the U.S. Bureau of Land Management. Now, that's an awful lot of money. I mean, he's been there 20 years, he could have paid that. That's not the, and much money when you spread it over 20 years. I mean, it's a lot to be paid all at once, but over 20 years, it's not that much at all. So why hasn't he paid for it? It would have, I don't know. I don't think it would have solved this problem because the federal government would have still wanted that land back to use for your...
Well, it gets better. Reed's son, which is a lawyer with a prominent Las Vegas firm that's representing ENN, helped it locate a 9,000-acre desert site that it is buying well below appraised value from Clark County, where Rory Reed formerly chaired the county commission. Huh.
So that's not... See, that's what we start hearing about things like this, and I no longer have any real... I don't side with Mr. Bundy at all anymore. Basically, he's basically pulled this stuff on himself. He's by not doing things and by not paying things and by just ignoring the federal government. You can't ignore the federal government. I mean, you can perhaps prove them wrong or make them pay you. I mean, I'm not saying you can't win a lawsuit against the federal government, but you can't ignore them. That's just something you don't do. For that matter, when you're handed a lawsuit, you don't ignore it no matter who it's from.
Yeah.
So you do something about it. I don't care what you do about it, but you do something about it. Otherwise, you lose, and then you're in trouble. And if you're just...
What would be interesting, as we're down to the last minute or so in the broadcast, is being the fact as they dig deeper, more and more stuff is coming out. Of course, I'd say it'd be interesting if there's any Senate hearings regarding this, but unless it has something to do with some well-known athlete taking steroids, I doubt anything will even be said.
Well, you know, I heard the people hollering, "Where are the cattle? Where are the cows?" And there was no answer for that. So the federal government still has the cows. And what they've done with them and whether they're planning to give them back or whether they're planning to keep them. Or, you know, there are 600 cows that are taken away. That's $600,000.
Right. Well, so far they said 400 have already been returned.
Oh, they have. Okay. I just said I'm not listening as closely as I should be.
Well, there's a lot of updates going on because, you know, it's kind of like a work in progress right now.
That's exactly what it is.
But it's kind of interesting how this is going to play out, and definitely a story worth following. Because as they say, as you dig deeper and deeper, you know, follow the money, and apparently there's a lot of underhanded stuff going on. And most importantly is I'm very proud that Americans actually were willing to stand up and fight what they believed in.
Well, it's about time. I mean, somebody needs to stand up and fight. But, well, who knows if they're fighting on the right side.
That's
the only thing.
Anyway, see you next week.
Have a good one.
Be sure to check us out on the Internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.